Welcome to Copper Country Today. We are heard Sunday mornings at 7 o'clock on 97.7 The Wolf, 8 o'clock on AM 1400 and FM 99.3 WCCY, and 9 o'clock on KBAR 102.3. Our program brought to you in part by the members of the Copper Country Education Association, and you can also listen to a podcast of our program by going to the Copper Country Today page at QNRReport.com. In the second part of this morning's program, I'll be talking with Melissa Davis and other members of the Keweenaw Renewable Energy Coalition. This week, they added their organization's voice to those calling for changes in the way electricity is provided for those of us who live here in the Western Upper Peninsula. In the first segment, I welcome in Nancy Warren, who is a member of the National Wolf Watcher Coalition. Nancy and her husband live in the Ewan area. And before I bring Nancy in, we're going to talk a little bit about wolves and the situation that's coming up in the next election, where there are a couple of proposals on the ballot that would deal with wolf hunting. The proposals, Proposal 1 and Proposal 2, are referendums on separate laws that paved the way for the first wolf hunt that we held last year. A no vote, and this is what I want to make clear, a no vote would repeal those statutes. So if you want wolf hunts to continue in November, you vote yes on both of those proposals. If you want to repeal the laws that allowed the wolf hunt and you want to, and you hope that that will stop the wolf hunting, you want to vote no on those issues. Yes favors continued wolf hunting. No opposes continued wolf hunting. The point may be moot. There is a third law that has been passed that supersedes both of those first laws, puts decisions about game species into the hands of a panel of experts, and takes those decisions out of the hands of the legislature and the voters. Opponents of the wolf hunt have vowed to challenge that third law if the first two laws are repealed in the upcoming election. There will be no wolf hunt this fall, because with the various possible outcomes of the election, there just wouldn't be time for state officials to organize the hunt, even if it is cleared to proceed legally. So let me at this point then bring in Nancy and talk to her about the National Wolf Watcher Coalition. What is that? That was a group I was not familiar with, Nancy.
Well, we are a relatively new group. We've been in existence 4 years now. And we're a national organization that our goal is to educate and advocate and participate for wolves. When what we believe in is using sound science to manage wolves. We realize that in some cases they need to be managed, but we believe that we need to use peer-reviewed scientific data. There's a lot of science out there, or people claim that there's science out there, but we use the gold standard of peer-reviewed scientific data. And that's data that, based on reviews of other scientists, they agree with the conclusions reached in that data. So we support education, we support advocacy, and participating, getting involved in issues in and around communities where there are wolves.
I have been disturbed as I've watched this issue develop over the last couple of years with the amount of hyperbole, with the amount of misinformation, with the amount of angst that has really come up from both sides on this. And so I really appreciate you being on the program to help us break this down a little bit and see what's really involved here. You live in the Ewan area. You and your mm-hmm. husband, I know you help yes. track wolves and such. For you and your neighbors who live in the heart of wolf country there, what is your personal experience at your home with wolves?
My personal experience is that they're a predator, but so are bears. So are there. You know, we live in an area where there are many different predators, and so we just take reasonable precautions. We have dogs. We do not leave our dogs out at night. We do not allow our dogs to just go roaming around our property. We keep them under our control. We don't feed deer. What often happens in areas, I'll have people call me up, and just like you say, the hysteria, call me up, I just saw a wolf in my field, and they're all upset, and I'll say to them, are you feeding deer? Well, yeah, I enjoy feeding deer. And, you know, my next question is, well, wolves eat deer. If you're going to be feeding deer, you're going to be bringing wolves into your area. That might not be a good idea. And so it's education, education, education. We try to tell people not to feed deer, not to leave dog food out overnight. It's not just a wolf that's going to come in and eat it. You know, bear, raccoons, you're going to have other issues, other animals. I think the issue is that people have become so used to having a bear raid their bird feeder. I know almost everybody I know has had their bear feeder, their bird feeder torn down by a bear, but yet they don't think of a wolf as a predator that's going to be attracted to food as well. And that's also one of my frustrations with the DNR, where the DNR will put out a press release. If there's a bear in the area, don't even call us if unless you've taken down your bird feeder. But yet, when a wolf comes into town or comes into a residential area, they fail to tell people to stop feeding the deer. They fail to tell people to watch their dogs, keep them closer, put them on a leash, things like that, not leave dog food out, not directly feed wolves. We've actually seen situations where off of Garden Road here in Mass City where people were actually feeding sandwiches to wolf pups that were near the road.
Well, I don't think that's a good idea with any species.
Exactly. And so some people were trying to get pictures of these wolf pups. They thought they were cute and cuddly, but they're going to grow up to be a predator who now see cars as a possibility of food. I know when we were feeding, when people were feeding deer here at the deer yards just south of Ewan, all you had to do was drive down the road with pickup truck and the deer were coming out of the woods looking for food. And wolves are the same thing. They can become very habituated to food. So the number one caution we tell people is not to have food around where wolves, that would attract wolves.
That does seem to be something, and I see only anecdotal evidence of things as we look at this situation. I know you have the latest reports from the state as to where wolves have been sighted and confirmed attacks and things. But there was a wolf that wandered into downtown Manistique a few weeks ago. There have been wolves in some of the residential areas in some of the towns in western Gilgibbick County. I know the sheriff has had to chase them out. Is there a danger here that wolves become acclimated to humans and start to feel more comfortable around us?
Well, that can happen. Wolves are smart animals, and they will become habituated to people. They will become habituated to sights and sounds, but the main point here is that we already have controls in place. In Ironwood, for example, this was back in 2012, wolves were coming into town. They were becoming habituated, and when DNR investigated, they found out that what was happening is the people were feeding deer. This was bringing the wolves into town, feeding deer, and in fact, in one situation, the wolves killed a deer right in the middle of the street, and people leaving for work saw wolves eating a deer on the road right in front of their houses. DNR took immediate action and trapped and killed those animals. Eight wolves were killed over a several-week period in that immediate area, and that was the end of the story. They killed the wolves. So we have the action. Even though it's a people problem and people were bringing the wolves in, this also happened over in Montreal, Wisconsin, just over the border. People feeding deer attracted wolves to the area. Wolves are going to follow that food source again. It all comes down to food. But we have the tools necessary. So when this happens, we have the experts who will kill those wolves. They set traps, kill the animal. Over the period of time of the last couple of years, 12 wolves were killed because of habituation or potential habituation. No one was ever threatened by those wolves. No one was ever attacked by the wolves. They were just uncomfortable in a residential area, and the problem was resolved. And you mentioned the issue in Manistique. It was reported that a wolf was seen by a boat dock in Manistique. However, it was never verified to be a wolf, and it later was turned out to be a coyote. So many of these stories, people in their mind, they see a wolf and they think conflict. Well, I must report conflicts. And a wolf passing through your field is not a conflict. A wolf in town may be a little bit of a more of a problem because, again, they're going to be nosing around, and just like you wouldn't want a bear in your garage getting through your garbage, you wouldn't want a wolf going through your garbage. So if that happens, DNR can remove that animal. Hunting is not going to resolve those issues.
That was going to be my next question. Will killing 3 dozen or 4 dozen wolves every year resolve all of this in some way, shape, or form?
Actually, no. The scientific data shows that when there's a problem, you need to address it promptly and you need to address it thoroughly. So if a farmer is having a problem, then we need to kill that animal that caused the problem. And we have the tools to do that. They don't need to have a hunting season to do that. So DNR also has non-lethal measures as well as the lethal measures. And those measures alone accounted for an 81% reduction of conflicts prior to last year's hunting season. So our wolf depredations, livestock losses, went down 81%. And in the western UP, in Ontonagon County, 89% went down prior to the implementation of the hunting season. So when you have a hunting season, you're not targeting the problem animals. You're targeting a random animal. And when you kill a random animal not responsible for depredation, you can actually cause livestock losses to increase. And the science shows that's because you are disrupting the wolf pack. Now, if a hunter kills, say, the pup of the year, that's not going to have that much of an impact on that pack production. But if you kill both the breeders, the alpha pair of the pack, now you've got animals there that lost the effect, their leader, and can then get into more trouble because the alpha animals are the ones who teach the younger animals how to hunt, where to hunt, how to kill. And so now you're going to have disruption of the pack. You're also could possibly open up the area. So say, for example, here, right here in Ewan, we have a farm where the man has used guard dogs for the last 9 years. He's had guard dogs. He had a depredation back in 2001. He now uses guard dogs or had guard dogs and has not had any problem. He has essentially taught those wolves that this farm is a bad area because we have dogs here and these dogs are protecting our cattle. Well, if now these over the generations, these wolves have learned not to come onto this farm, and one of those guard dogs has since died, but the wolves still have not come onto his property. Now, if we go out and kill these animals, and one animal from this wolf pack was killed during the hunting season, but now if we open up this territory, other wolves can be moving in. Wolves are going to move into a territory that's unoccupied. So if this pack was entirely wiped out, say, through a hunting season, now we've opened up that territory for another wolf pack to get started who aren't going to know about guard animals, who aren't going to, it's a learned behavior, who then can also look for an easy source of food. So you take out the alpha animals, you're going to leave the yearlings there. The yearlings, again, looking for food. They're food-driven. They may be too inexperienced to bring down a deer, and they're going to say, oh, there's a cow in that field. There's a sheep in the field. That's easy food. I'm going to take it. So the science shows that randomly killing animals not responsible could actually cause increases to go up, to livestock losses to go up.
Interesting. Nancy Warren is my guest. She's a member of the National Wolf Watcher Coalition. She and her husband live in the Ewan area. And again, let me clarify that there are two proposals coming up on the ballot in November that would repeal the first two laws that created the Michigan wolf hunt. And this always gets confusing when we have these types of repeals coming up. I want to make sure that whichever way you vote, your vote counts the way that you want it to. If you want wolf hunts to continue, you vote yes on both of the proposals on the November ballot. If you want the wolf hunts to stop, you vote no. Voting no doesn't guarantee that they stop because there's been another law that's passed that may supersede both of those, but by and large, if you favor wolf hunts in November, you want to vote yes. If you oppose wolf hunts, you want to vote no. Nancy, there have been no reported attacks that I'm aware of, and I've done some research on this, of any wolves attacking humans, but one of the things that is floated up to me by people who are concerned about the wolf population is that there could come a time when a wolf, perhaps at a school bus stop in the morning or a small child playing in the backyard or something like that, that we could have a problem between a wolf and a child and a serious injury or a death. How realistic is that potential?
Well, I always love the wolf at the bus stop story. It's never happened. It's not likely to happen. We live with risks every day. I mean, how many times do we hear you could get struck by lightning? But how often does it really happen? You could get hit by a train, but how likely is that going to happen? So I'm not going to stand here and say it's never going to happen. A child, a young teenager, was attacked by a wolf in camping in Minnesota over the last summer, I think, is when that took place, or the summer before. Again, that wolf was killed. So it's a matter of keeping that fear in perspective. Is it likely to happen? No. Has it ever happened? No. Is there a risk? Life is full of risks. You take reasonable precautions, and that's why I say DNR already has the tools. If a wolf becomes habituated, we kill that wolf. So we do preemptive actions to remove any animals that could potentially be a problem. So, there have been bear attacks. We live with bear attacks. Deer have attacked people in Michigan. Bear have attacked people in Michigan. There's been coyote attacks across the country. There's even been, in Michigan, squirrel attacks where people were seriously injured by squirrels.
Well, when we run into porcupines, we run into raccoons.
Skunks,
we have, all sorts of animals can attack. Why have wolves gained this reputation of being such super predators?
I think it's the little Red Riding Hood stories. We all grew up with Little Red Riding Hood. And then if you look at some of the movies that have come out, it's the big, snarling, growling wolf coming out of the woods. And these images stick in your mind. And I think what happens now that we're seeing wolves on the landscape, I can't tell you how many times people have said to me, I saw a wolf on such and such an area, and it just stood there and stared at me. And I said, yeah, that's typical wolf behavior. It is. They see a wolf and they expect it to be this snarling, growling animal that they've seen in movies. And that's not a realistic depiction of a wolf. That growling, snarling that shows up on the cover of magazines saying, oh, wolves taking a bite out of your hunting, is not realistic. This is not how they act toward prey. This is a behavior that they show towards other wolves, and they're exerting dominance over another wolf. They're saying to the other wolf, I'm going to eat first. You're not going to get to eat this piece of meat. I am. And that's how they communicate, just like your dog is going to communicate with another dog. I'm the dominant animal. That's how wolves communicate. But yet, when someone gets a photo of that, that's what goes on the cover, and that's where people think that wolves are going to act. And it's just not realistic. I do want to mention one thing here with the voting. You mentioned the voting, and everything you said is accurate. A no vote will repeal the two laws. But the one important point I want to make, that voting no on both these proposals does not impede the ability of DNR to manage wolves. All the things I mentioned before, the non-lethal control, the lethal control that we have, all will continue. That's all part of even as the wolf would then be returned, as it is right now, the wolf is a protected non-game species. It cannot be hunted because of the challenges to these two laws. Compensation to livestock producers will continue. The lethal and non-lethal methods will continue. And in fact, Michigan just received a federal matching grant of $12,500 to allow for compensation to livestock producers who lose wolves, lose their livestock to wolves. And there's also another $9,500 for non-lethal control. And that includes placement of donkeys, flaggery, which is basically flags around the property, noisemakers, things that could persuade wolves from killing livestock. So I think that's a real important point, because in some cases when you were talking about misinformation, the misinformation is that groups like, such as myself, believe that no wolf should ever be killed for any reason. We're just trying to protect them. We're trying to make this the UP playground and our natural preserve, and that is not true. Because we do support the non-lethal control, we support removing the animals that are causing a problem, and I think that's an important message that sometimes gets missed.
Yeah, and that's a good distinction, particularly in regards to the proposals. All they affect is the specific hunting season. They don't affect anything else that's being done to help monitor the wolf population. Nancy Warren is my guest, a member of the National Wolf Watcher Coalition. Before we run out of time here, Nancy, I want to bring up the program that you are planning at Finlandia University on October 21st. You have an informational program that you're putting together?
That's right. I'm doing a program at Finlandia. It's going to be at the Heritage Center at 7 o'clock on the 21st, and the topic is going to be the politics of this hunting season, how politics have replaced the science of a wolf hunting season. So we'll be talking about how we got to where we are today and be bringing up the points of what the scientists do say about hunting wolves for conflict management. And that's another important point, because DNR is saying that this hunting season, or the past hunting season, the purpose of that hunting season was to reduce conflicts. But the scientists, and as I said, the peer-reviewed scientific data shows that this is not an effective way to manage wolves. And there's a scientific publication that says the evidence, available evidence, does not support that expectation, and that plans to harvest wolves as a means of managing depredation are not scientifically sound. And some of the leading scientists have said the state of Michigan should refrain from harvesting wolves for this purpose, that it is just not effective.
Yeah, the politics of this has just gotten so out of hand, and I'll tell you the thing that makes me the saddest about this. I know that the opponents of the wolf hunt have spent more than $1 million fighting it. I'm sure that the money is similar on the other side. I don't have figures from the proponents of the wolf hunt. This is a little yardstick I apply on my morning show on our WOLV radio station. In Haiti, there's a United Methodist mission where they serve kids meals, hot meals at lunchtime. And the kids are starving, and so they often just take this plate of rice and beans. They eat half of it and take the other half home to a brother and sister. It costs 75 cents to provide the meal. $1 million on each side of this campaign. Put that together, we could have fed 10,600 starving children for a year.
Mm-hmm.
How on earth did this get so out of hand?
I know. And it's so much of it is based on fabricated stories. I mean, we've all heard the story of Tom Casperson telling about the incident in a daycare center, which turned out not to be true. It was totally fabricated. And it just keeps getting escalated. I know the groups behind this mission here have spent over $1 million. In fact, there'll be a campaign coming out on commercials advocating vote no on this. And we would much rather be spending the money on something else. I would much rather be spending the money on habitat and everything else. But we're pushed into this issue because of the politics. And it really is sad. You know, and you know, when you really look at the wolf plan, I served on the wolf roundtable when we developed the wolf management plan, and it was an amazing situation. The first day we were there, you had the groups that I'll just put them as pro-wolf groups, wolf advocacy groups on one side of the room, and those who favored hunting wolves were on the other side of the room. And I thought, we'll never come to any kind of compromise on this.
No. Okay. They're all dug in, and I've got to cut you off, I'm afraid, here, Nancy, because we're out of time. I so appreciate you taking the time to join me and help to kind of cut through all of this. I really, really appreciate it. Again, Nancy's program that she has planned for Finlandia University, October 21st at 7 o'clock at the Finnish American Heritage Center. If you'd like to know more about the group that she's involved with, the National Wolf Watcher Coalition, you can go to their website. What's the name of that?
It's wolfwatcher.org.
All right. Thank you, Nancy Warren, very much, and stay tuned for
the
next section of Copper Country Today.